Now, tonight, we're going to do a very, very important topic. In fact, I was waiting a very, very long time until I had an opportunity to say it, because it's mamish vital that every yeshiva bacher should know. Everybody, you all go to yeshiva to become big talmidei chachamim and big goyim. And one would think that if you become a big goyim and a big talmid chacham, and of course you have the requisite yiras shamayim, then you're going to become an adam gadol. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. There are plenty of people who were big talmidei chachamim, meaning you could ask them, what does it say in Masechta Menachos Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and they'll read it off right away, Baal Peh. There are plenty of people like that throughout history. They were big talmidei chachamim, had a lot of Torah, and one would think that they would have a lot of Yiras Shamayim, in the sense that they don't want to do Averis. They are machmir on very many mitzvahs, and yet they, instead of becoming Anoshim Gedolim, they become Fakrumt. It's happened throughout history. We could use Koyrach as an example. We could use Yerovam ben Nevot as an example. We could use Shapsi Tzvi as an example. And there are plenty of contemporary people too as an example. We will actually see what our Gedolim have said about such people. But the question is, how do you avoid becoming Fakrumt? How do you protect your das to make sure that your das remains das Torah? Now, we're assuming that you have enough Torah to qualify, but even if you do have enough Torah to qualify, there are certain things that are very, very important, and if you don't do this, so then the whole thing mamish goes down the drain. It's like having money in your pocket with a hole in your pocket. No matter how much you put in, you're not gonna collect anything. Now, there's a pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk goes like this. Mikol mishamor, from everything that you protect. Now, we protect a lot of things. We protect our money. We put it in the bank to make sure nobody steals it. We protect our cars. We lock it up to make sure nobody steals it. We protect our health. We don't eat potato chips and we don't smoke because it's not healthy. There are plenty of things that we do we protect. But he says, Mikol Mishmor, but from all the things that you protect, the thing that you should protect most, Netzorli Becha, protect your minds. Lev in Tanakh means mind. As in Rabbis, Machshoves Belev, Ish Kol Chacham Lev. From all the things that you protect, protect your mind. Kimimenu, because from your mind, Toitzos Chaim, that your life comes. Your mind is your life. Different people protect different things, and different people have different things that are more valuable to them. I know there was a guy who used to come to Sunday morning shir I would give, a guy from Woodmere, and he was in the business of making coffee. He used to grind up coffee beans, package them, and sell it to coffee shops to brew and make coffee. And he told us that there's a job that he hired people to do called coffee tasters. They would sit, and he would give them some coffee, and they would taste a little of the coffee to see if it's a good geschmack of coffee, and that's it. And then they would wait until the next cup a few hours later, I assume, and they would take that coffee again, and that's what they would do all day. And they would get paid a good money. So I told him, that's all you have to do. I said, I want the job. It's a good job. You can sit in Beis Medrash, and not only that, but all the coffee could stay up all night also. And it's a gewaldig job, and mamish, you could sit all your life like that. You have parnosa, toyer gedula b'makom echad. So he says to me that there's one tanai, that in order to be able to be a good coffee taster, you're not allowed to eat anything hot all day. You can't eat anything hot because if you eat something hot or spicy, it dulls your taste buds just a drop, a mashahu, and therefore you don't have that sensitivity that's needed in your taste buds to be able to be a coffee taster. So I said, forget it, it's not worth it. You can't eat anything hot. But for these taste bud people, these coffee tasters, to protect their taste buds is the most important thing in the world. Because if they just lose a drop of sensitivity, now I know how to taste. I know what good coffee tastes like, right? Everybody knows what good food tastes like. But these people, it's not good enough to know a good cup of coffee, a bad cup of coffee, okay? These people, they have to be mamish, very, very sensitive, and their tongues have to be like Geiger counters, or like very, very delicate instruments to be able to detect even a little mashahu problem with the coffee. Now, there are people that sing, professional singers. I don't know why anybody, as coffee taster, I understand why somebody would become. But a professional singer, even if pays good, I mamish don't understand why anybody would become a professional singer. It's mamish like bizyonis, but there are people who become professional singers, and they have to protect their voices. They go to insurance companies and insure their voices because that's mamish, the most prized possession. If they break their legs, they break their arms, they could still sing and they could still be singers. And but the voices, chas v'sholem, nothing's allowed to happen to the voices. Everybody has something they protect. If Ava has a stamp collector that protects old stamps, so he puts each stamp he doesn't even touch it with his hands. He takes Ava's tweezer and he takes the stamp and he puts it in a plastic, in a kiss b'toich kiss, to make sure that not even air spoils the stamp, because the stamps are very valuable. Mikol mishamar, from all the things that we protect, Nitzoli Becha, Yidden protect their minds. The way the coffee taster protects his taste buds and the way the stamp collector protects his stamps is nothing compared to the way a Yid is supposed to protect his mind. Because if your mind is working properly, then you have life. If your mind is not working properly, then your life is messed up. No matter how much money you may have, no matter how much fun you may have, your life is messed up if your mind does not work properly. And a mind is a very, 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 very delicate instrument. In fact, if it wasn't for the Be'er Hashpah from all the outside influences that we have on our brains, we would be completely different people. Also, Elokim es ha'odom yoshar, a person is made naturally to grow up to be yorei shamayim. A person has a neshama, and a neshama's natural tendency is to be a yorei shamayim. It's just that every move we make, every step we take, it's like the coffee taster that has this spicy food and that hot food, and by the time we grow up and we're 8, 9 years old already, 5, 6 years old, our brains are already so influenced by so many outside influences that it becomes a struggle just to be straight and normal and sane. And now here we are, and we want to become B'nai Torah, and we want our Das to be Das Torah, and it's up to us to protect our minds, because you should know that even if somebody knows Gan Shas and is a big Lamdin, is a Goin Hador, but if he doesn't protect his mind and he lets outside influences in, the whole thing is Botel Umavotel Ka'afra Da'ara. Rav Chaim Volozhin says, the Ritvaz brings it, that if somebody believes this is the worst case scenario, just a drop of apikorsis, a drop of minus, it's not possible for him to be Mechavin La'mita Shel Torah ever. That means that the guy could be a goin otzum. He could be the Talmud Chochum, biggest Talmud Chochum in the door. If he believes a bit of apikorsis, it is not possible for him to be machavin l'amita shel Torah ever. He can look like a goin and speak like a goin and act like a goin, but it's not possible for him to be machavin l'amita shel Torah ever. The apikorsis is over there, on one end of his brain, and Masechta Zvochim is on the other end of his brain, and because the apikorsis on one end of his brain, Masechta Zvochim gets corrupted. It gets polluted. It's like you have a big, big, strong person, and he protects his body and everything, and he never has a disease, a crippling disease. He has a virus. And no matter how strong he is, he's going to be poisoned. He's going to die because of the virus. You can have a computer, the strongest computer in the world, but it has a little virus in it, then nothing that comes out of the computer you could trust. Every piece of data that comes out of the computer could be attacked by the virus. And a Ben Torah protects his mind from viruses and protects his mind from all outside influences. Otherwise, he's going to become corrupted, and there are people all the time throughout history in which this has happened. And even doesn't mamish become corrupted, you can tell. You can tell where people where people were influenced from. You know, you have people speak English, and a lot of people speak English. They speak English with an accent, and you could tell from the accent where they're from. You could tell from this guy's accent that he's Israeli. He takes the salmon, the fish, and he calls it Salomon. He's Israeli. You could tell if a guy's from France. You could tell if a guy's from Italy based upon the accent they have. And it's a funny thing about languages, that if you learn two languages, let's say English and Italian, and you learn Italian before English, so English is always going to have the accent, and Italian, the one you learn first, won't have the accent. Whatever you learn first, whichever language you learn first, leaves an accent on all the later languages later on in life. And even if you don't speak with an accent, you can speak with an accent anyway. I know guys whose first language is Yiddish, and they speak English just like I speak English, but because their first language is Yiddish, they're always speaking with an accent, even though the words come out perfectly. I'll give you a mashal. A guy once told the guy that I once went away, and I was staying in Albany. Went on vacation, and when my family was staying in Albany, and the guy wanted to know. I said, I went with my whole family, Albany. He said, where'd you stay? I said, this and this place. He said, did you stay in Albany alone? So now you look at me, and he said, what do you mean? Didn't I tell him I was with my family? Teretz is, because he speaks Yiddish. And he wanted to know, did I stay in Albany proper, in the center of Albany, or right outside Albany? And in Yiddish, you would say, did you stay in Albany Alain? It means Albany Alain, means Albany itself. But if you translate the word, it comes out Albany alone. And he was translating in his mind. He said, did you stay in Albany alone? And I'm thinking, and it comes out differently because that's what he learned. It's the same thing. If a person learns Torah when he's young, and only Torah, without outside influences, then when he's old, he can think without an accent. But if when a person's young, he's influenced by outside influences in his mind, then even when he's older, his mind is always going to have an accent, and his Torah is always going to have you can tell. A lot of times people come to me, they tell me Shtik Lach Torah, and I tell them, okay, I know where you grew up. I know only one place you could have picked up Azama Halach HaMachshava. I'll give you a marshal. A guy comes to you, and he says that he has a Shtik Lach Torah, and his Rav has a Shtik Lach Torah, and he has a Shtik Lach Torah that Bizman HaZeh could be Makriv a Karban Pesach. You know the guys at Tzioni. Why else would somebody make such a shtickle? Theoretically, it's possible. Listen, a guy could go around, he speak like this, and he's not Italian. It's possible. You know, it could be. But that's an accent, because the guy has a predisposed mahalach for a certain machshava. There are people that come, guy, this Shabbos came to me, and there was a vort from Reb Moshe. It was a Rambam. The Rambam's talking about a guy that wants to do mitzvahs like a yid in order, because the guy wants to be mekabel schar. So Reb Moshe says that it doesn't really mean the guy's going to get schar. A guy doesn't get schar if he does tayag mitzvah. It means the guy thinks he's going to get schar. So the guy wants to do mitzvahs to get schar, even though he's not going to get it. But so we're allowed, we let him do the mitzvahs. So the guy comes to me, he has no a whole shtickel tayer, not like Reb Moshe. That it really means that the guy is like Eina Mitzvah V'Oisa, and that the guy really gets schar for the mitzvahs. Now, theoretically, you could say Shtikl Torah not with Reb Moshe's Mahalach, no problem. But the way this guy was saying it, there's no question. I told him, I said, you must have grown up in a modern Orthodox place. Because you could tell from the way he was talking, he had this attitude, this idea, that it's much less of a doichik in the Rambam to say that Goyim and Yidden are more equal. If you have a choice to say that Goyim can't do mitzvahs like Yidden, and they're so far away, so different than Yidden, or if you have a choice to say that the Goyim are close to Yidden, very similar, it's much more of a doichik to say that Goyim and Yidden are so different from a Hashkafa perspective. That's an accent. It wasn't the Shtigl Torah was a problem, the Shtigl Torah had a predisposition. Ad kedei kach, the Chasam Sofer says in a few places, based on a Gemara in Brachas, based on other Gemaras, Gemara in Brachas says that you should not teach your children too much Tanakh. Dav Chavches, Mino B'neichem Min HaHigoyen, says Rashi, you should not teach them Mikra Yoser Midai. Don't teach them too much Tanakh. Why? Says the Chasam Sofer, because the Goyim and the Yidden both believe in the Tanakh. Yidden believe in Torah Shebal Peh, Goyim don't. Mamela, it's important when a kid is young to be able to plant within his understanding that his Bible and the Goyish Bible, that he and the Goy are different. After you know you're different, then you could learn the same things that the Goy learns. And you won't be influenced by the fact that the Goyim also have Tanakh to think that we have some kind of similarity with them. But if you learn Tanakh at the beginning without learning Torah Shebal Peh, and you learn it Pshutei Shel Mikra, the Goyim also learn Pshutei Shel Mikra, I'm not talking Rashi, they learn a Pshutei Shel Mikra, then when you learn the Gemara, the Torah Shebal Peh, it'll already come as a Chiddush to you to uproot whatever you learned. Memela, you have to start with the Torah Shebal Peh and later go into the Torah Shebiksav. I'll tell you a story. I was a bocha. We had a friend whose father was a psychologist. And we were by this friend's house for Shabbos, bunch of guys. And the father said, the psychologist said that he does hypnotherapy on people. And he hypnotizes people. Now, hypnotizing people isn't like it's in the, you would think, where you swing a watch in front of him and you tell him to act like a chicken. Rather, you speak to the guy and he goes into a trance, and then he remembers things and he absorbs things that he normally wouldn't otherwise. It's like more in touch with deeper part of his mind. So we all volunteered, could you hypnotize me? Could you hypnotize me? And he did hypnotize one of us. And he was an ethical guy. He was an ehrlicher guy, the psychologist, and he wasn't going to do anything to embarrass the bacha. So he asked him innocent questions. One of the questions he asked him is, how come you like your Rebbe so much? His bacha loved his Rebbe. A 17-year-old guy. How come you love your Rebbe so much? So you know what he said, this guy? Told you a story already, right? When he was a little kid means he less than two, there was a television show that he used to watch, a cartoon, about the rocket ship going up to space, and they would fight the aliens against the rocket ship people. And it was his favorite television show. And he had a toy, this rocket ship. It was and that was his favorite toy. And the pilot of the rocket ship, the head of the show, a cartoon character, looked exactly like this Rebbe. And that's why he loves his Rebbe. Bacha wakes up. He didn't remember beforehand, not that there was such a television show, not what the guy looked like, not that there was such a guy, but deep in his brain, there was a natia, because this is what he was 2 years old. And it sits in your head. Now, Baruch Hashem, he looked like the Rebbe, and not like the drug addict on the street, this guy. But who knows, if people walk around and our brains are affected by all sorts of things. Everything a person looks at stays in his head. And it affects him in ways that he has no idea. And the Tzaddikei HaDoiros, one of the ways to recognize an Adam Gadol is if he's somebody who is not mushpa from outside influences. Somebody who's kuloi toyer that doesn't have any hashpa from outside. Because somebody who does have a hashpa from outside, then the values from outside, whether it's communism or nationalism or the equal rights for women or whatever values they have nowadays in the street, seep into his head, and it creates an accent in every thought he has. Every Dvar Torah he says is it's like he's wearing sunglasses and he has those sunglasses on, and the sunglasses are affecting everything he learns. Now, you should know that there were people, even more contemporary people, who were great big Talmidei Chachamim, but they had a tragic flaw. And they fell terribly. And they were guilty of saying things that even the average yeshiva bacha wouldn't say. And the average yeshiva bacha would know it's shtusim. And I say that because we're going to see soon a letter from Rav Shach on this, and then a letter from the Ger Rebbe. And how is it possible, one would ask, that big Talmidei Chachamim would say such shtusim? So I have over here Rav Shach's letters. And he writes over here about a certain Rav. I'm not saying his name. But if anybody wants to know his name, Schelik Ravi, page Lamed Vav, and page Kuf Zayin. It'll be right here on Abima. So as a Rav, which in certain circles, not in yeshiva circles, he was considered mamish from the Gedolei Hador, if not from the Mstama the Gadol Hador. And he was Alamdin, and he knew Shas, and Rishonim, and Achroinim. But you know what he said? So Rav Shach quotes him. He says like this. Said that our avos were koine Eretz Yisrael by building mizbechos all over Eretz Yisrael. Right? And nowadays people also build up Eretz Yisrael, and they're koine Eretz Yisrael by building mizbechos. The Fruma Yidden, we know how the Fruma Yidden are koine Eretz Yisrael, what they do. But then, there are other Yidden who aren't from, And they're also Kohen Eretz Yisrael. They also build Mizbechos. What are their Mizbechos? Bizman Hazel, what are the Mizbechos that build Eretz Yisrael? Another factory, and another factory. They're Machalei Shabbos, they Chazafreses, but they build factories and this, and they build up the land, and therefore it's like a Mizbeach. And through their Koyach, we're Kohen Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Shach, Toma ani alatzmi, ki shochach ma esma shetalmidei beis rabban yoidim. This man forgot what every yeshiva bacha knows. Al ma'ovdo ha'oretz al ozvom es toirosi. That in Eretz Yisrael, a mitzvah is a great thing, and aveira is a bad thing. You cannot build Eretz Yisrael if you're doing aveiras in Eretz Yisrael, and a factory is not a mizbeach. And now you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, who am I? I'm just the yeshiva bocha. Maybe the guy has some cheshbonis. Says Rav Shach, no, he has no cheshbonis. It's simply wrong, and every yeshiva bocha knows that this is just outrageous. How outrageous is this? First, says Rav Shach, Mamish divrei kfira ad kedei hishtoimimus lemara ayin. It's such kfira to the point where a person is shocked even to see it. Now, if you saw it, you'd be shocked. But I know you would think, well, maybe I'm just a yeshiva bacha, and maybe I'm just holding by sumchis, so I don't know yet Yan Shas. So maybe there's something I don't know here. No. You're right, and he's wrong. How did this happen? So earlier on, Rav Shach brings some other stuff from this person that I'm going to apply over here as well. He says that this, he wrote, Dvorim Elu, other things, Osir l'shoymon v'kol shikain l'kois from l'doyreis. It's also to hear such things, kal v'chaymer's also to write them down, which this person did. V'ani kois from, why am I writing them? L'harois ad kama shechochmas chitzoinis gormos siluf v'yirida bedas teira. It's because the guy learned Chochmas Chitzonius. He was mushpa from Goyisha philosophy. He was mushpa from Goyisha values. He was mushpa from all these things. And because he was mushpa from all these things, that's what took somebody who's Azag Groysa Goynin Lamden and allowed him to say things like that. There's somebody else. Also, I won't mention his name. But if you want to know who it is, it's in this sefer over here, page 84. Listen to what he wrote. Listen to what he wrote, this person. He's talking about soccer players. Okay? This sport that the young Jews play in Eretz Yisrael, in order to strengthen their bodies, the soccer players, in order to be strong young men for the nation. Okay? So what do we say about soccer players? So you're thinking, if they're from, at least they're from, okay. Better they should be playing soccer than going to the movies, right? No. If because they're playing soccer, so this is mashlim, it completes the spiritual koyach of the tzaddikim up in Shemayim. And playing sports to strengthen the body and the ruach for the strength of the entire nation is an avoidas koidish to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it raises the Shechina higher and higher, like the Shirois v'Sishbochois of David HaMelech and Tehillim. Now, this person was also a great, great, great big Talmud Chacham, a Veltz Talmud Chacham, even though, by the way, the first person who I mentioned had once met the second person and said he's not impressed with the second person's scholastics. That's a quote. But what would cause somebody to say such things? Would you say such a thing? Now, if you think maybe there's footnotes on the bottom, of course, there's no makaris to these things. And there's a sefer from Rabbi Yosef Yedid, Sheiris Yosef, I believe it's called, if memory serves. And he quotes this stuff, and he calls this person the Navi. He calls him the Navi because he just says Navuas. Where'd he get this stuff? He might have pulled him out of his hat. So there's a letter from the Ger Rebbe, and the Ger Rebbe says about this person, Al Af He Yosei Talmud Chacham Moli VeGodush B'Mektsoyus Shoinim, the Imrei Emes. Even though he's a Talmud Chacham who's a great Talmud Chacham, full in many different areas of Torah, VeGam Noyim Mitzuyin, his personality, he's a Balmidus. Einenu yochol hichoshev kimamali mokam umamshech darkam shel hagoinim v'hatzadikim shel doyreis harishoinim. Now, what puzzled this person? Well, we know what happened over here, but what's the root cause of this? Says the Ger Rebbe. This person, Makusha Kvar im Ruach Hazman. He's attached, he's tied, he's connected, he's influenced by the latest movements of the day. In those days, there was a movement called nationalism, French nationalism. There was German idealism and various other different philosophies that, by the way, if you're familiar with them, Baruch Hashem, if you're not, but if you're familiar with them, this stuff that I just read is mamish like taking those Goyisha values and just superimposing them on the Torah, and this is what you'll get. He knew Shas with Poiskim, but because he was involved in these Goyisha studies and they influenced them and he held from them, like I could see a Goyisha think and say, ugh, this is weird, this doesn't make any sense. Mela, that's one thing. But if you absorb the values that the Goyim have, and it's consciously and subconsciously, then you project your Goyisha values and your Goyisha cup onto the Torah, and this is the type of grotesque results that come out. Even if you are Groyser Goyin, okay, not everybody will be impressed with your scholastics, but even if you are Groyser Goyin, it could ruin your entire cup. On the other hand, Rav Shach, in another place, is writing a letter to somebody, and he's begging the person, he said, listen to me, please listen to me. He's trying to convince him of a Torah Dikah Hashkafa and to guide him on the right path. And what words does Rav Shach use to try to convince this bacha that he knows what he's talking about? If you're a salesman, you want to sell your product, you tell him, look, it's good for you. How does Rav Shach express the fact that this bacha should listen to him? Does he say, I'm a goyin adir? No, Rav Shach's not going to say that. Does he say, I'm godol hador? Rav Shach's not going to say that. This is what he says. All my life, I grew up and I was mechunich to understand Torah and to teach Torah. Only and exclusively the Torah that was given on Har Sinai without any belishum taruvois chochmas chitzonius, without any mixture from outside studies. And all my life, ad hayoyim kiyamti as hamaymer v'havi misabek ba'faragle chachomim. And all I did all my life was stick around the chachomim and their svarim. And I was makabel from them and only from them, what they were makabel all the way to Har Sinai. But he says over here, please listen to me at what I'm telling you. Rav Shach's a human being. You can dingzach on a human being. Any human being can be wrong, but Rav Shach is saying that the odds are that I'm not wrong. Why? Not because I'm so smart, not because I know Gan Shas. And both were true. But he's saying that I am right because I am not influenced by any outside influences. All I have is Torah. So what do you think I'm telling you? Only Torah. The Brisker Rav. They asked the Brisker Rav a similar question. He's talking about the Zionists again. And they asked him, how is it possible? They asked the Brisker Rav, that how is it possible that they are, what's the Lashon over here? Balechoch, Anoshim Balechoch Ma'umala. It wasn't the exact Lashon probably, it's just a written over Maisa, but how is it possible that they are smart and Choshiva people that believe in this stuff. Stuff that clear, divrei shtus, how could, such shtusim, that's a destruction for Judaism. So said the Brisker Rav, there's a pasuk in Koheles, zvuvei moves yavish, yabi Hashem in roikeach, yokum michochmo, mikvoid sichlus maat, which means that if you have a lot of fine oil, and it's beautiful oil, and it smells good, and it's good stuff. And if you put some dead flies in it, not only do the dead flies smell, but they putrefy, they make all the oil smell bad. It ruins the oil. So too, There's certain shtusim, like Zionism, for example, that no matter what you have in your head, if you believe a little of it, it messes up everything you have in your head. So what's the kasha? Just because a person is knows Shas and Poiskim is not enough that person should be Das Torah. The question is, what else does he know? What else is he influenced from? Yeah, people who will tell you, by the way, and people who will tell you, no, it's not true. I learn all sorts of shtusim, and it helps me understand Torah. No, I don't know. You know, it helps them. Ask them. Ask these people. Okay, explain to me. Here we have a Tosfos, Shnei Moichs and Metalsko. Explain to me how your shtusim that you learned on this helps me understand the Tosfos better than the Birkas Shmuel does. See how it works. But you understand why they say this. I'll tell you why they say this. Imagine somebody, a friend of yours, found these, a novelty in a store, these gray sunglasses. You can't really see good from the gray sunglasses. And you tell him, what are you, crazy? What are you going to put them on for? You're not going to be able to see anything. He says, no, I'm going to put them on. Puts on the sunglasses, and he looks, and at the beginning it's hard, but eventually he gets used to the sunglasses. And he comes over to you after a long amount of time, and he says, you know what? These sunglasses are gewaldic, because these sunglasses help me see the world the way it is. This pole is gray, and I only know that because of my sunglasses. And I only know that that safer is gray, and that this man is gray, and that this floor is gray. Only because of this, without the sunglasses, I wouldn't know that the whole world is gray. In the same way, people say without these chokhmas, the shtusim that they learned, they wouldn't understand the Torah as good. Of course, because it's the shtusim that they learn that make them think that what they understand in Torah is understanding it better. And really it's not. The odds are, I would not be surprised if these people who Rav Shach wrote about, the Ger Rebbe wrote about, held that their learning of the Chochmas Chitzonius actually helped them understand the Torah and led them to the great Chedushim that they said over here that we quoted. You put on the glasses, oh, it's great, my glasses. If not for the glasses, I wouldn't see that the whole world is black. Next example, Rav Shimon Schwab was a big goyin and a Veltz Talmud Chochem and a big Ish Emes. I knew Rav Schwab very well. And Rav Schwab writes over here, in one of his books, about Rav Shamshon Frol Hirsch and the Torah Derech Eretz and the Tutzdodim and what he held and what the opponents held, so on and so forth. And one of the things he writes over here like this. His question is, would Rav Shamshon Frol Hirsch, if he would be here today, would he say that people should do Torah Derech Eretz? So, he discusses the whole topic. In the midst of the discussion, he says as follows. Finally, there's one important reason. There's one important reason that the sincere Torah im Derech Eretz scholar should actively support the Torah-only school. It is possible that the occupation with secular philosophy has imperceptibly tainted the indigenous purity of genuine Torah thinking. Perhaps the invasion of foreign ideas has beclouded the genuine and original Jewish predispositions and attitudes. Subconsciously, our inner directions may have changed ever so slightly. In other words, the Yekis, by learning their Derech Eretz in the secular studies, could end up messing up their heads, and their Das Torah could become tainted. In those circumstances, who would discover the change? Who would be able to tell them, no, you're going off the Derech? It was the Torah-only scholar who would be quick to notice a deviation from the genuine pattern, and his reaction would be to call immediate attention to the slightest foreign intrusion. All those who need a reliable compass for the windy passage through uncharted seas of Jewish Weltanschauung, it doesn't matter if you know what I mean, it's like Hashkafa, should therefore welcome the Torah-only school as a sounding board and testing ground for creative Jewish thinking today. In other words, even Rav Shamshon Frol Hirsch, who advocated the Torah Derech Eretz, even on the tzad that he advocated really Torah Derech Eretz, still there's a danger. And the danger is, there's a risk. Sometimes you do something, and even if you hold, you should do it, it's a risk. And the risk is that by learning the secular studies, their brains would become a bit tainted. And who would recognize that? Because if you're wearing the glasses, you won't recognize that you're not seeing things straight. You'll think that you're seeing things straight. It's only the person that knows only Torah and only Torah that's able to recognize such a thing. You want to be Das Torah? So have over here from the Divrei Yoel in Parshas Achrei Mois. Listen to this. Be'emes yesh l'chol Yehudi hamavakesh ha'emes das Torah lahaskil eze derech yishora asher yivroloi loleches bo. Every Yid who wants the truth has the ability to understand the truth and to do what's right. Ulahavchin mahu ha'toiv ha'yosher l'fnei ha'olikim, and to understand right from wrong. Ochein do'oka. Shim ein tzadik emes asher yikabel hashpo mimenu olol hu lintois achrei das ador. He says, but if you don't have a good hashpo, you're likely to have a bad hashpo. And once you have a bad hashpo, that messes up your mind. And every yid is born with a das yosher. And if a person would be uninfluenced by bad influences, das would be das Torah, if he's a mevakesh emes. But because there's a generation, a dor, that has different ideas and different hasogas, then if you're mushpa from the generation that has different ideas and different asogas, your das gets messed up, and now your das is not das Torah anymore, and it's not even your das. That's the pshat. Isha she yosher beinov yaseh. A person has to do what's yosher beinov, not in the eyes of those that influence him. If a person would be able to be allowed to develop naturally without any influences, any bad influences, he would be able to see the truth, and he would be able to have his own das. And also, lekim es odom yosher, it's just that we have the outside world, there are all these ideas that influence us, and that messes up our head. I'll tell you a story. When I was a kid, I once asked Rav Avigdor Miller if it's okay to learn the Shar HaYichud in the Chovos HaLevavos. It's the first shahr in the Chovos HaLevavos. I think I was, how old was I? I was 14 or 15. I remember the school year. It was that year, then middle of the year. I became 15. So either 14 or 15. I asked him, was a Ketlin Shahr HaYichud. Shahr HaYichud, the first shahr in the Chovos HaLevavos, is very philosophical. It's similar to a lot of things the Rambam says in Marei Nevuchim. But it's very, very philosophical. And the Noit Behuda says not to learn it because it's very hard, it could mess you up. And I asked Rav Avigdor Miller if I could learn it. So first he explained to me what the opposition was. He said that people think differently now than they did then. And the questions he asks are easy and the answers are hard. People don't think like that anymore. And it's like going into war with rusty weapons. However, he says to me, do you ever read the newspapers? Now, before I tell you the rest of the story, you should know that newspaper in those days was better than some of the Sforum that come out nowadays. It was not good. I'm not saying. No, it was a waste of time. And there was some schmutz in newspapers. But it's ain't a doima. If you're under 40 years old, you have no idea what it was like compared to what it was here than what it was there. I remember hearing from Rav Gifter Zatzal once what public school was like in the days when he went to public school. He said that there were separate entrances for boys and girls in the public school. And one entrance, it said boys, men are arangang. No, it said boys, men, boys. And the other entrance, it said girls. And if a boy went into the girls' entrance or vice versa, quote from Rav Gifter, they were severely reprimanded. Later, it was mixed, and he said it was unbelievable. He says, compared to what it is now, he was much older than me. And I'm telling you, the same thing from the next generation, next two generations below him, that it's ain't a doima what it was. And now I'm going to continue the story. So Rav Miller asks me, do you ever look at a newspaper? Said, Amol, Mefsha, sports section, something. So he says to me like this. He says, if you read a newspaper sometimes, then you have nothing to worry about from the Chovas Halvavas. It's only a step up. He says, whatever Noidi Behuda said, it's much better than reading the newspaper. Instead of reading the newspaper, go read the Shahar Yichud and the Chovas Halvavas. It'll do you no harm. It's Chovas Halvavas, you have to worry if a person's going to go down from it. But somebody reads the newspaper, and I didn't say I read the whole newspaper. I didn't even say I read it regularly. He says, it's a step up. What influence a person has. You know what it's like? I'll give you a mashal. And then we'll end with this. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you that you yourself really understand this. But because we're mushpa by society, this itself doesn't get into our heads. Question. Let's say, Rahman Litzlan, one of you guys was arrested because the police said that there was somebody murdered on, I don't know where, let's say on the beach, down Beach 9th Street, and they're choishish that somebody is the right seach over here. And they take you away in handcuffs, and they bring you one day, day comes in court, and comes time to choose a jury. It's just a marshal, the whole story. And it comes time to choose a jury, okay? And you have to pick the jury. You have various different people to choose from. One person is very smart. Another person is not so smart. But the smart person, he read about your case in the newspaper. The other person knows nothing about your case. Who would you rather have on your jury? You'd rather have the guy that didn't read the newspaper article. Any lawyer in the world would understands that. And what if he says, I only read one article and I know to take it with a grain of salt and I don't believe what I read in the newspapers? You would still passel him right away. So what are we saying? That if your life is at stake, you wouldn't trust the judgment of somebody that read one newspaper article because it's mashpia on him. And even if he says, I don't believe it, and even if you know he only read it and he really doesn't care about you, as long as he read a little newspaper article, so mamela, you're afraid that that's going to skewer his judgment because you only want the person to get information in his head that comes from the controlled environment of the courtroom. And anything outside the controlled environment can negatively influence him and cause a bias. So, is your neshama not worth as much as your guf? You see yourselves how much you believe one little newspaper article, what it could do to a person's judgment, but the teretz is, you don't feel judgment is important. Yes, if your life is at stake, then the judgment of the jury is important, so you're very makbid. But you don't realize, you figure, you know what, so the judgment is skewed, so it's not skewed. And that's why we don't care. But the truth is, mikol mishmor nitzor libecha, every decision that we make, consciously, subconsciously, has the influence of all these things. Somebody says, you know what, in order to understand Torah, I really want to learn all the chochmas first, and then I'll be able to make a decision. Such a thing is like somebody who's in a courtroom, a juror, and saying, I'll read all the newspapers and all the magazines, and then I'll come to the court, and then I'll decide. Such a person is his puzzle. What person in his right mind would allow such somebody to make a judgment? After you learn Kol HaTorah Kula, and then, Fadama Shetoshev LaPikiris, you want to go out and to read some of this stuff, Mela. That's like after the court case, and you're finished, and you made a decision, you want to read what the newspaper says about the court case, it's a completely different perspective now. Now you look at the newspaper and you say, yeah, all right, I know this is true. What's the pshat? Pshat is, whatever is first, it leaves an impression on your mind and every other thought comes with an accent. If you had the court case first, that leaves the first impression on your mind and everything else is projected onto that. If you read the newspaper first, then everything you hear in court is projected onto that. We'll continue Mi'etzah Hashem next time. But the Yesoid we have now, Davaila, is that in order for a person's Das to be Das Torah, and the truth is not only Das Torah, in order for a person's Das to be Das Ben Odom, like the Divrei Yoel said, if you want to keep your own opinion, if you don't want to shut off your brain and just absorb what the next door neighbor says or what the newspaper is saying, what somebody else says, if you want to keep your own opinion, you better make sure, as if you were a juror, in a goyish court, you better make sure, if you want to make a good decision in anything in life, that you absorb the information only from the controlled environment of Rava and Abaya, and all outside influences, at best, they could just create a bias, and at worst, Rachmona Litzlan, if you're talking about a mamish aber hashkafa, it can cause even the biggest Talmidei Chachamim to say even the biggest shtusim.